I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
Fresh out the oven with another slice of Believe in 49ers podcast. I am your host, Tommy Call the Third, presented by the Believe Podcast Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Tommy underscore III, triple I for the third. You can catch all my written work for all things 49ers at Niners Wire via USA Today. And boy, do we have a jam-packed show for you today. We got a little recap of the 49ers' gritty divisional win over the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday in Week 2, and a preview for Thursday Night Football against the New York Giants, the San Francisco 49ers home opener on a short week at Levi's Stadium this Thursday, all jammed into one episode here on Believe in 49ers. So buckle up and let's get into it, because there's a lot to talk about. The 49ers are coming off a 30-23 win over the Rams on Sunday. While it may have been a little closer than expected, myself included, it was a tight game. Although the score makes it sound a little tighter than it was because of obviously the last minute, Sean McVay's last minute cover hero, backdoor cover field goal. But I think myself and others needed a reminder early in the season just how tough divisional games are, especially on the road. So kudos to Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers for handling business on Sunday. While last year was a disaster for the Rams, Sunday proved Sean McVay is still an elite play caller. He can scheme guys open. Matthew Stafford isn't fading or washed. And in all honesty, I thought Stafford was pretty impressive. His arm looked live. He had command of the offense. And all those young playmakers running around, he hit those guys open and put some pressure on the 49ers, especially on the road. You know, and after trading shots in the first half, and kind of the first thing I want to get into on this game is Steve Wilks, specifically the 49ers' new defensive coordinator. I thought the Rams' offense really moved the ball fairly well on the 49ers. you know, for the, I want to say for the first time in a long time, we haven't seen the 49ers defense get, you know, pushed around at that level where it seemed like another offense kind of really knew how to attack their weak spot. I mean, they neutralized the 49ers pass rush, attacked open spots on the field for easy completions. It wasn't like it was big play after big play. They were kind of methodically moving the ball. The 49ers defense looked like it had some areas of vulnerability, but that could be, you know, a positive thing after all, because we got to see the first look at what Wilkes' adjustments would look like, what the new defensive coordinator in Santa Clara could do at halftime, and how the 49ers defense responded. That was the main thing that stuck out to me in this game, because with a pair of turnovers from Stafford in the second half, interceptions from Isaiah Oliver and Lenore, those to me were two of the key plays of the game that really swung this in favor of the 49ers. It seemed like the team to kind of create the first turnover or create the first scoring drive off a turnover was going to win this game. And it was the 49ers. You know, they gave up 17 points in the first half. And then in the second half, they only allowed 6 points. And that's including McVay's 3 points at the end of the game to hit the cover. And ouch to any of our bettors who were on Niners at -7, -7.5. Rough way to go out. Still not exactly sure what Sean McVay was thinking, what the thought process there was with that. Surprised that hasn't been more talked about subject this week, to be honest. We wrote about it a little bit over at Niners Wire, but haven't seen a lot of people talking about it outside of that initial reaction. But oof, that was a rough one. So shout out to all the people out there grinding that out at -7. But some other things that stood out to me in the 49ers win over the Rams was Kyle Shanahan's aggressiveness. Talking a little bit about the coaching staff both ways. I mean, I loved that he sent Purdy and the offense out there at the end of the first half to score a touchdown, as opposed to kicking a three going into halftime trailing. That game was good, locked up at 17-17. And I think he deserves some praise for the trust he's showing in Purdy early on in the season. Granted, it's been two games, but he hasn't wavered at all, Kyle Shanahan, with this young quarterback. It seems like the confidence and the trust is there, really unlike many quarterbacks we've seen Kyle Shanahan coach up in Santa Clara, including Jimmy Garoppolo. The faith he consistently has in this guy to kind of make the right decision, you know, and give him the keys to an offense that we can see is highly powerful. And I think that trust also translated a little over to Jake Moody. I mean, I think it's something we need to talk about for just a second here, sending him out, the rookie kicker, out on a 57-yard field goal. You know, Moody is starting to look like a player with that kick and how consistent he's been early on in the season, and that, you know, was worth taking in the third round. And with everything we saw in the preseason and the struggles that stuck out, Moody's ability to kind of provide some stability and confidence in the kicking unit deserves mentioning and has gone a long way early on in the season. I mean, how often do you remember Kyle Shanahan sending out a kicker for a 57-yarder? Obviously, you know, Robbie Gould was more of a veteran, and, you know, the leg, having a huge leg, wasn't necessarily, you know, something he's known for, but still just sending in a rookie out there to get it done after the struggles we saw in the preseason. I think, you know, Kyle Shanahan deserves some praise. He's coached up two very good games through 2 weeks. Not a lot of stuff you can say about him right now. And I thought Sunday was another one, and kind of preaching aggressiveness, confidence on the road goes a long way. More praise for the 49ers deserves to be shined on the offensive line, the interior offensive line specifically, because I don't know about you, but I was impressed about what happened with Aaron Donald. Watching that game, genuinely, it kind of felt like, is this guy even out there? Like, it wasn't even in my game notes of what Aaron Donald did on Sunday. It was like he was completely erased from the game. game balls absolutely deserve to go to Spencer Buford, Aaron Banks, and Jake Brindle. There wasn't much of an interior pass rush at all in that game, and they helped, you know, clear running lanes for Christian McCaffrey on another dominant day on the ground. And like we talked about in the preview podcast for the Rams, if there's one player in the NFL defensively that can absolutely wreck and take over a game single-handedly, Aaron Donald jumps right to the top of the list. We've seen it happen before. And for some reason, Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers, that interior offensive line, whoever's lining up there, has the ability to kind of neutralize one of the pound-for-pound best players in the NFL time and time again. Because Aaron Donald, at this point, seems to struggle against the 49ers consistently. And it happened again in week two because he was awfully quiet. Honestly, in his tenure against the 49ers, it seemed to be one of his most quiet games where genuinely it felt like he wasn't out there on the field. And he was. You know, obviously, Deebo Samuel had another impressive game. It was kind of a vintage performance from him. A couple rushes, a couple catches, breaking some tackles for a touchdown. I thought that was really good to see. But moving off the positives, let's look at a couple things that, you know, could be considered negatives. It's hard to, you know, find those things and point them out at this point in the season because I think it's not some sort of hot take or any surprise that you could say, look right now and go, the San Francisco 49ers are the best team in football. There's a reason they're number one across anybody's NFL power rankings. So pointing out negatives, it's not like Brock Purdy's out there turning the football over like crazy, but there are some things to talk about. And I don't want to harp on Purdy. He played a fine game and was a factor in this win. Hit all his intermediate and short throws. Very elite in the intermediate game. But where he missed was those deep passes, and it deserves to be talked about. I mean, this game might have been a blowout if he connects on a handful, on one of those. And it seemed like he missed two to three to four potentially. And it's not like a theme or something to worry about. But if I think where the worry factor comes in for a young quarterback that's still figuring it out, 49er fans, people that watch these games are still figuring him out to an extent. And I think one of the things that is exciting about Brock Purdy is his, you know, ability to his want in pushing the football down the field is, you know, taking what's given to him deep as opposed to settling short. If he continues to miss a couple throws deep and starts settling short for everything and maybe say, I don't want to push the ball downfield because I know I'm going to miss some overthrow like we saw, that I feel like is problematic. Even if Kyle Shanahan's not necessarily calling deeper routes and having, you know, Purdy settle, that's where this could be problematic. And I would not want the 49ers to go down that path. Because I think what makes this offense tick with Purdy under center is his willingness to push the ball down the field. I would rather have him miss a couple times than elect to hit the short throws and the check down throws. That's Jimmy Garoppolo. That's what many 49er fans had problems with Jimmy G. And that's not a knock on him or anything, but I think the elevation of the offense with Purdy under center as opposed to really any guys that have been there in Santa Clara with Shanahan is that different element for Purdy keeping his eyes down the field and taking those chances. And even if he's going to miss, I'd rather have him miss, especially early on in the season with the team cruising 2-0, continue to take those deep shots, Brock Purdy. I don't think, you know, any 49er fan is going to complain if the game is, you know, if the 49ers are continuing to win, but there's some passes because once he does hit on those, it's going to be a touchdown. One of the last things I want to touch on from LA before we move on to a little Giants preview and get you ready for Thursday night football is the 49ers pass rush. I mean, after an ultra disruptive day in Pittsburgh, Nick Bosa and Drake Jackson were fairly quiet against the Rams. While Bosa is still creating pressure, he has not landed that first sack yet. And I don't think it's any, like, we don't need to make some big theory about, oh, he missed training camp, blah, 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 he was holding out. I don't think it's any direct reflection of his holdout, but it's something to monitor. It feels like once that first sack hits, they're going to start to pour in. And I think more so I was interested in watching what Drake Jackson did in this game, because it felt like week one was either, you know, a really great performance to start the season or the start of a potential breakout year for the former Trojan edge rusher. And for him to go into LA and be fairly quiet, I don't know, it was, I guess, a little bit disappointing. And again, we're picking at straws here because the 49ers, it's hard to pick out some guys on the 49ers at this point that were underwhelming. But I think the pass rush in general, it's why, one of the reasons why Stafford looked so impressive, I believe, at least in that first half, is because the pass rush was fairly neutralized. However, heading into week three here against the Giants with multiple guys out on their offensive line, including a former high first round pick, Andrew Thomas, their tackle, he has been ruled out with a knee. And I don't know what the injury is that he was ruled out with. It's not right here in front of me, but he is going to be out for that game. And it feels like this is a game where the floodgates could open for Nick Bosa, and he really gets going. He loves primetime, too. It feels like every primetime performance, when the lights are on, he really comes alive. So let's get into that Giants game here. Short week. Let's get into Thursday Night Football. To start it off, we have some injuries, starting with Brandon Ayuk. He's listed as questionable with a shoulder injury. He was injured early in the contest against the Rams after two, you know, clutch impressive catches that kept the 49ers opening scoring drive going, set up the Christian McCaffrey touchdown. He kind of bounced in and out of that game. He's listed as questionable currently. Ambry Thomas is also listed as questionable for the 49ers with a knee injury. But I think the more headline worthy injuries are on the other side of the football with the Giants, because they will be extremely shorthanded. No Saquon Barkley, no Andrew Thomas, as I just mentioned. Ben Bredesen's out. Aziz Alarie is out. But obviously, Barkley is the.
I'm Cyndi Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean four times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clear skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clear skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunchberries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on.
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunchberry.
No!
No one steals my Crunchberries.
I think you mean my Crunchberries.
Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Big miss for the Giants. He is absolutely the catalyst on offense. He's coming off of a solid performance against the Cardinals with two touchdowns, catching the ball, rushing the ball. He is the guy there. Now with Saquon, who is officially ruled out, we will get to see former friend Matt Breida likely get a bulk of the carries. They could have like a three-headed monster there with some other young guys, Gray Brightwell, Eric Gray, who was a rookie. But it looks like Breida is going to be the guy, at least if he gets the start, and is going to see some opportunities against the 49ers defense. I mean, he's older, but it's worthy of a reminder that he's still got some juice, for sure. But I think the big question, even outside of now with Barkley out in this game, is the Giants, who are they? I mean, really, who is this team? Because if this was the first game of the year, we could probably talk about a lot of different things about this team being, you know, a trendy pick for an NFC championship team even. I mean, there was a lot of people very high on the New York Giants for rightful reason. They were very impressive last year, kind of hitting that trend of a second year impressive coach with Brian Daboll. Daniel Jones seemed to come into his own to an extent, signed Darren Waller, tough offensive line, got some pieces on defense. It seemed like this was a team that was kind of trending towards, you know, a perennial playoff contender. Now you fast forward to week three and the question still remains is who are these guys? Because week one, an absolute blowout, 40-0 to the Dallas Cowboys in primetime. Everybody saw that one. And then just last week, you go into Arizona, and credit to the Arizona Cardinals to an extent, because they're better than I think a lot of people thought. At least Jonathan Gannon, who many poked fun at, has those boys over there, you know, trying. To an extent, they're not just laying down, they're not just absolutely trying to lose, but the Giants fell majorly behind to the Cardinals, pulled out a wild comeback win behind Barkley and Daniel Jones, and there's still the read is who are these Giants, and I don't know if we'll know who they are by the end of Thursday Night Football, but without Barkley, you know, Jones and Brian Daboll will try to, I feel like, open that 49ers offense up a little bit, try to kind of stretch the field with maybe a big play threat like rookie Jalin Hyatt out of Tennessee, who I really liked coming to the draft. I actually think he's going to be a very good player, but for guys who are maybe, you know, specifically speed threats early on in their career, it might be a little bit tough to impact the game. But while he runs deep and is going to be out there kind of trying to push the football down the field and get open in one-on-ones, and Daniel Jones will push the ball to him. Don't get it twisted with Daniel Jones. I think with a quarterback like him, people realize, oh, he's like a dink and dunker. Like, no, he will try to take the deep shot. But while he runs deep, I think Darren Waller is the guy that the 49ers' attention will have to be on, because he's going to have that chance to work underneath. He had a solid performance against the Cardinals. But realistically, outside of those two options, the Giants are ultra thin when it comes to playmakers. So I don't think there's even more so last week with the Rams, Puka Nacua. We talked a lot about him and Tutu Atwell, Kyren Williams. I mean, even that list of players right there might be a little bit more scary than what the Giants are going to run out there on Thursday night at Levi Stadium. So defense, I feel like they should be able to take advantage with, you know, loading the box a little bit and firing that pass rush. And Daniel Jones, who is a guy they'll have to neutralize a little bit with his feet. He can run the football pretty well. But again, and I'm going to say this multiple times through the rest of the way, Nick Bosa, this could be the breakout performance night. No Andrew Thomas at tackle really is going to limit, you know, a lot of what the Giants do, and not having Saquon Barkley back there. But it just feels like this could be a Nick Bosa three sack performance type of thing, really a breakout night for the 49ers. Offensively for the 49ers, defensively for the Giants, there's no, you know, telltale signs of the Giants defense really slowing down anybody. I mean, the Cowboys and even the Cardinals were able to do a lot of stuff offensively, not maybe whatever they want, but a lot of stuff offensively to the Giants defense. You know, they got a pair of rookie corners back there, and Deebo Samuel coming off a solid performance of his own, and Brandon Ayuk. It feels like if he plays, they should be able to absolutely expose that secondary. And we're not even talking about Christian McCaffrey, because outside of this guy is one of the best players in football and on and an absolute wagon and on a heater right now, rushing the football with, it seems like every time he touches the ball, the threat of going to the end zone is very much alive, and he just grinds on teams. I want to talk about Christian McCaffrey in a second here with just the workload aspect and Thursday Night Football on a short week, but we're not even needing to talk a ton about Christian McCaffrey because we know what he's going to do. And I think to the, some of the best teams in the league, he's still going to be as effective as he is, because he's just hitting on all cylinders right now. And the way Kyle Shanahan's using him seems fairly unstoppable. But if the 49ers really want to stretch this thing out into, you know, another cruise control game, another fairly, you know, pushing the limits of a blowout, I think Deebo Samuel, and if Brandon Ayuk plays, should be able to absolutely expose that secondary, some of the young guys back there. But while Sunday's, you know, road comeback was impressive against the Cardinals for the Giants, and they needed that desperately after a rough start to the season. I think they were down 60-0 through six quarters or something like that. There's a stat floating out there on Twitter. Can't remember what it was exactly, but I mean, a really embarrassing start to the year for a team that many expected, you know, to be pushing for the playoffs in a weaker NFC conference, looked like a team that was probably going to be drafting really high on draft day as opposed to worrying about the playoffs. But I don't see how the Giants keep this one close, especially if the 49ers offense is cooking and their defense is putting things together. I mean, they're going to be on back-to-back road games on the West Coast, short week, no Barkley. I mean, the 49ers, I believe, will put this thing in cruise control and move to 3-0. Like I said, I wanted to mention this earlier, but I think really quick before we get to, you know, prediction time here on Believe in 49ers, I think we need to talk about the McCaffrey, not issue, but the conversation, the narrative that's going on right now in Santa Clara about him, his touches. I talked about it on, I feel like, every podcast I've recorded here in my early tenure with the Believe Network, but I always thought that for Christian McCaffrey to be his most effective and to wear on throughout the season, and the 49ers are going to need him later on in the year in the winter months. But he, you know, there's going to be a point where Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers are going to have to lean on an Elijah Mitchell. And if it's not Elijah Mitchell, Ty Davis Price, Jordan Mason, someone like that. I think it's no surprise or secret code that any backfield is at its best when it's a 1-2 punch. And whether that's 7 to 10 carries a game for Elijah Mitchell or whoever RB2 there is, giving a drive off for Christian McCaffrey. And I thought he made a really good point when he was talking earlier this week about his usage, when he talked about, well, like the game against the Steelers, we were out on the field a lot because there's 3-and-out after 3-and-out after 3-and-out. Well, it was a different story for the Rams, where they had kind of these long methodical drives where they're chipping up and down the field, and he was out on the sideline. So by the time the 49ers got the ball back, he was fresh again. So there's going to be some balance. And Kyle Shanahan spoke about, you know, wanting to be better with how they use that running back rotation. And I think that is kind of an important factor to the 49ers season so far that we're gonna have to pay a little bit of attention to. And I think on a short week with a team that I feel like the 49ers should be able to take advantage of is where we see Elijah Mitchell get, you know, a series or two type of thing. And even if he's not moving the ball, even if he's not efficient or doesn't look 100%, I think the 49ers need to make that mistake and see it happen versus then giving Christian McCaffrey 25 touches and letting him play late into games that, you know, are in hand for the 49ers. So I think that balance is going to be, you know, important to the 49ers going forward. The messages throughout Santa Clara this week have been, you know, Elijah Mitchell, running back to getting the football. So I think that's going to be, you know, something to pay attention to. But we will see that here soon on the field. Let's get into prediction time. You know, Thursday night football games have a chance of getting sloppy. We see it every single week. I think, you know, if you're on Twitter during the games or you're listening to anything, and it's like, why are they doing these games? So you always have to factor in just the slop effect that guys are banged up. The 49ers are coming off a road game, but if they are not getting up and spry for this one, home opener under the lights at Levi's Stadium, 2-0 with the chance to get to 3-0 and have, you know, 10 days off before their next game. I think the 49ers will absolutely be up and should be able to control this game. With that being said, prediction time. I think it goes 31-10 on Thursday. I think that 49ers offense moves the ball well, and Bosa has his breakout game with, let's call it, 2 sacks. He loves prime time. Take the 49ers as the double-digit favorite at 10.5. We were wrong last week. We went 0-2 in the betting prediction. Yikes. Hopefully everybody out there just faded me. But there's always the next game. So we'll be at 49ers, you know, minus 10.5, along with, I'm going to take it again after it missed last week, Purdy over 1.5 touchdown passes. I think when the football gets into the red zone, he will be keeping his eyes in there, wanting to make an impact in front of his home field team, and he gets 2 touchdown passes, and that number hits. All right, that should get you ready for Thursday night football. I'm excited. Love seeing the 49ers under the lights. Going to be an exciting game. And, you know, there is a fair opportunity for this team to move on to 3-0 and start the season with a very big bang and kind of establish themselves in front of a primetime audience that they are, at this point early in the season, the best team in football. And they kind of ride that wave here for a second. We will be back on Believe in 49ers with a reaction to Thursday's game after Thursday Night Football here on the Believe Network. As always, thank you all so much for listening. I appreciate you sticking with me here on Believe in 49ers, and we will be back. Good luck to the 49ers and everybody out there watching. This is Tommy Call, the third for the Believe Network. Thank you.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In 2 clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.